Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Welcome back to SEC Media Days 2021. Chuck Oliver Show kicking off Hour 2 on this Wednesday. Dan Matthews again coming to us live from Charlotte, the Western Up Yonder, ACC Media Days. Among others, Mississippi State in the house. And I was able to sit down a little earlier with a good friend of mine. I don't know that we've had him on the program yet. He is host of one of the best podcasts you're ever going to find about Mississippi State football. I want to welcome him on right now. It is Brian Haydad. Media Days 2021 taking place in Hoover, Alabama. Chuck Oliver Show here all week. Also, Charlotte, North Carolina at the Westin Up Yonder talking ACC. Pleased to be joined now by somebody. I'm going to call him a good friend, Brian Haydad from the Thunder and Lightning podcast, the premier Mississippi State podcast. And I guess that's got to be all sports, including like national championship baseball teams.
Especially national championship baseball teams. I was very thankful to Mississippi State for providing me content well into July. Not everybody had that same luxury. Yeah, around the world. Well,
now, I'm not trying to be a smart aleck here. What is the roster now of national championships in Starkville?
It is one.
Okay, that's what I was thinking I remember.
It is the most recent one.
You remember when the Gamecocks went back to back up in Omaha,
yes,
didn't they?
Yes.
And a buddy of mine that covers the team is like, all right, that now brings our national championships to three.
Oh, three.
They had a women's track indoor national
championship. They've added a women's basketball since
then. They have since then. Well, let's talk a little football. It's Mike Leach Day, and ain't nothing like Mike Leach Day in Birmingham. I'm assuming I've talked to him one time. Tell me if this experience was different than most. He was here in that Key West year when he was just traveling around. I guess he released a book. So
yeah.
I was sitting at that table right across the way. He came over, sat down. I interviewed him for 15 minutes. Now, the interview was me asking him how he's doing. He stared at the carpet for 15 minutes and talked about every subject I would have asked about.
You just have to put the ball on the tee for Mike Leach, and he will hit it as far as you need it to go. There's no topic he can't cover. You can ask about football. You're going to go down a different road at some point. You'll get your answer about football, but there is no topic Mike Leach can't cover for you. And honestly, you know as well as I do today, all the TV people are going to get him to do that.
Oh, yeah.
So the wacky questions are incoming here in Hoover.
Well, let's talk less wacky. Let's talk quarterbacks. Okay. And don't make assumptions, especially when it comes to Mike Leach in the offense. But I thought that, you know, most times when you would start a true freshman at quarterback, then that's kind of the lead into the next season. That doesn't have to be the case in Starkville because Will Rogers played well and did some things. Jack Abraham's played well in like five places and done things.
Yeah, and when you go 4-8 or 4-7, you can't just lock into anybody as a starter. You've got to allow competitions to happen. You bring in Jack Abraham, and I think with Abraham, people want to immediately think about the last transfer Mike Leach had. That's Gardner Minshew, who was not a great quarterback at East Carolina, and he became the leading passer in college football and has now, you know, made an NFL career out of that. And Abraham's college stats are a lot better than Minshew's. It's sort of an interesting comparison. And you've got a true freshman coming in, Sawyer Robertson, who's the most highly rated quarterback Mississippi State's ever signed as a pro-style quarterback. So there's going to be a battle for this job. Rodgers has the advantage, don't get me wrong. He if the season was tomorrow, he'd start the first game. But he's going to have to play well to keep that job because he's got quality competition behind him.
Okay, I don't think this would offend a Bulldogs fan, but like Jaquavius Marks, wow. And that's not the typical freshman that goes to Mississippi State. That's a kid that somebody like Georgia or Ohio State gets on late, and then he transfers to CBUS. He went to Mississippi State, and he caught more passes than any freshman run, or maybe any running back in the country.
And obviously the most in school history by a running back. But when you look at the yardage, and it's like four yards a catch. Mm-hmm. I mean, 4 yards a carry is – not great, but you can live with it. 4 yards a catch, what are we doing?
We're not throwing it backwards. That's literally the
– I can't tell you the number of his catches that he caught with his back to the defense.
Yeah.
The ability to catch him in stride was non-existent for Mississippi State. Their offensive line was just terrible at times last year. But Marks is very talented. You mentioned, you know, coming out of the state of Georgia, Joe Moorhead actually signed him and wanted to sort of saw him as maybe another Saquon Barkley type, which, you know, that's a stretch, but whatever. He's a really good running back, though. He and Dylan Johnson, that's a good combo. My podcast, Thunder and Lightning, they're sort of the same thing, that inside-outside kind of combination. It's Mike Leach, so you know the running game's not going to be a focus, but I think State will run the ball more effectively this year. I don't know if they'll run it more, but they'll run it more effectively.
Now, this is kind of unfortunate because there's talent out there at wide receiver, but I think that about 90% of people who are listening right now that aren't a Mississippi State fan, the only receiver they know is Malik Heath.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me good things about Malik Heath, and then tell me about the other receivers as well. Because
yeah.
I said this when I was talking last week. I was like, I hope I'm never judged on my worst 45 seconds.
Yeah, Malik Heath, not a great look there at the end of that bowl game, but a talented receiver, bigger receiver, you know, a guy who can be more of a downfield threat and be a red zone threat for Mississippi State. He's definitely, I would say, option B. He's the second guy in this receiving core. Number one's Jaden Wally.
Yeah.
And that's a guy SEC fans need to get to know, because if things go the way the Mike Leach offense is supposed to go, he's going to lead the league in receiving. He's going to be 75, 80 catches. He's going to be 1,400, 1,500 yards, because that's just the kind of numbers you pile up in this system. Really good player. Really came on last year. I think had 5 100-yard games at the end of the season. A really solid player from down there on the coast. State has two transfers in. People should keep an eye on. Mekhi Polk came in from Cal. He was here for the spring. I thought he was State's best receiver in the spring. And then Jamire Calvin, who comes from Washington State, who
yep.
played for Leach, knows the system. Should just be able
speaks
to,
the language, man.
On day one, just come in, yeah. I know what I'm doing, and go from there.
You know who I've equated that to when I saw it? Mm-hmm. I was like, that's Mo Smith when he went to Kirby, played
yeah.
for Kirby, and said, you need somebody who speaks the language.
Exactly.
So that, because here's what a player does. Uh-huh, yeah, I understand. And then the coach turns around and is like, what am I supposed to do?
Right.
And when you had Mo Smith, when you had – it's the guy who speaks the language and said, well, you line up in the slot, it's going to be 8 yards, you know, whatever.
That should be Calvin.
It should be. Flip it over to defense. This is something that you and I have already talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of talent on that side last year.
Yeah.
And that kind of had to carry the day a little bit, which was the last thing people expected. This year, there's not as much proven talent.
Yeah, and that goes back to Mullen, to be honest. That he was a guy who recruited defense first.
Yeah.
And when he had a guy who, you know, ATH, athlete,
yeah.
they went to defense.
Oh, yeah.
They went to defense. They became safeties and linebackers. There's still talent there. Jaden Crumney is a good defensive lineman. Nathan Pickering, who opted out mid-season last year, will be back. He was a four-star guy.
Was I out of line? I was expecting kind of him to plant a flag by now.
I thought he, you know, I didn't think he'd be Jeff Simmons, but I thought he would be another good MSU defensive lineman. He's a little behind schedule. And last year opting out, you know, hurt him with that. But I think this year he'll be back. At linebacker, Aaron Brule, who we're going to talk to today, one of the better linebackers in the SEC. He's really, really good. And Tyrus Wheat's a good linebacker as well. State's strongest is at cornerback. Emmanuel Forbes and Martin Emerson, as good as any duo in the country. I would put them up there with Ricks and Stingley from LSU. That's a really good cornerback.
That's supposed to be an outlandish statement. It's not.
It's really not if you watch the games. And State got a couple of big transfers as well on defense. Randy Charlton from UCF, big defensive end, provided a little pass rush. They lost with Kobe Jones going out. And then Jalen Green, a former five-star kid from Texas. State needed some depth in the secondary. He's going to provide that. I love Zach Arnett, my favorite coach on that staff. Has absolutely no problem telling you how bad his defense is every single day. They're never good. They're never good, according to Zach Arnett, even when they play well. He is as old school a football coach as you'll ever meet. If you ever get a chance to talk to him, I highly encourage you to take advantage of it.
Yeah, and I think I need to tell people he's the DC in Starkville, and he's really, really good.
Yeah.
I don't want to like get over my skis here. He might be Mike Elko like 3 years ago before people knew the name Mike Elko.
I think he's a future head coach for sure. He runs that 3-3-5, which in Mississippi we all remember Joe Lee Dunn for all those years. And he is aggressive. He moves guys around, and you never know where he's coming from. At the same time, though, what a great soundbite. I mean, just fantastic.
Tremendous information. I appreciate you making time. Tell everybody who you are and where they can get you.
Brian Haydad. I'm on Twitter at Brian Haydad. I kept it real simple there.
Focus grouped it for that.
We kicked it around the room. Thunder and Lightning podcast available at Apple, Spotify, anywhere you get a podcast. You can hear me and Robbie Falk of 24/7 Sports.
Thank you for your time.
Anytime.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Chuck Oliver Show continuing from 2021 SEC Media Days live in Hoover, Alabama at the Hyatt Winfrey. I want to welcome on now a good friend of mine and the program from the Senior Bowl, the executive director, man who runs the place. It is Jim Nagy. Jim, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Chuck. This is good just to be back around it.
It really is, and obviously some of the premier players from the number one conference in college football, they're walking up and down the halls all week. How do you decide, or how does the committee decide on who to invite? If it was just about, hey, invite the best players and they'll show up, that's pretty easy. But you've got to evaluate a lot of different areas, specifically who does the NFL want to see in this game?
Yeah, that's, I mean, Chuck, as you know, we do all our own work. So we just hired our staff last week, 7 former NFL scouts with 120 years of experience. So, and I'm going to be at games every week. They're going to be at games every week. We're going to be watching tons and tons of tape. Yeah, but at the end of the day, these rosters, and I tell the NFL teams, the rosters are for them. Like, what's the Senior Bowl?
You're not drafting anybody.
Yeah, we're not drafting anyone. So we want to bring the players they want to see. So a big part of our process is constant communication with the NFL general managers just to make sure we're all on the same page. I think it's great that they know we're doing our own work and we're not constantly going to them for names, right? And it's great to bounce things back and forth. Sometimes we'll see players differently and we have great conversation with the teams. But yeah, we want to bring those guys. So yeah, that's a big part of what we do is just the using the relationships that I have and that Phil Savage had before me of 20 years in the NFL is just reaching out to the guys you worked alongside for all those years and again, trying to figure out who they want to see in Mobile.
All right, but you also have to serve a lot of different audiences. I mean, it's not just the NFL GMs. You would like to sell tickets. You would like to have the local community come out. You want to see, ratings, for instance, on NFL Network. How much does the marquee attraction of a player, if all things are equal, and this is a high-profile guy from a program maybe, how do you decide that? Because I've seen Alabama, I've seen Western Illinois in the game.
Yeah, it is. To me, it's you bring the high-profile players. Our community's going to come. We're in a smaller stadium now. We're at Hancock Whitney, which is about 15,000 less than Ladd Peoples was.
So shiny, sparkly, gorgeous crib, man.
Gorgeous new digs, but it's an easier sellout now, Chuck. You got 15,000 less seats to sell. So I'm pretty confident we're gonna get to that sellout pretty quickly. But, again, it's about bringing great players. You bring Justin Herbert down to the Senior Bowl, people are going to come want to see him. So I understand what you're getting at. Down locally, everyone wants to see Alabama players, Auburn players, Georgia players, LSU players, and we're going to bring those guys, but it's going to be the best ones, right? We're not going to just because a guy played at Alabama, no, we're going to go after Najee Harris. We're going to go after Devontae Smith.
When you talk to the NFL guys, you mentioned the new facility there. I've been to plenty of games at Ladd Peoples and practices and everything else,
right.
Bowl games. I've been to high school games there. And historical facility, we all know that. Talk about what the game changer is, because it's an NFL caliber facility. That's what these guys are used to.
Total game changer. And again, I've a lot of history there at Ladd Peoples Stadium, so that was a bittersweet thing to leave Ladd Peoples. So I don't want to sound callous in any way, but the new stadium is a game changer. Just the feel of the event last year, even during COVID, when we were only at 25% capacity, we're at roughly over 6,000 people in the stadium. Just the Jumbotron and the LED ribbons. I mean, that just the look and feel. But then also, like you talked about from the NFL's perspective, now they have suites to sit in during practice. They, if it does rain, they're up in a suite that's being catered with flat screen TVs.
I would stand under the stands. at Lad People sometimes.
Yeah.
When it would start raining?
Yeah, you got no choice. So this is, you know, and then from the teams, the participants, our locker room facilities, everything is first class. So, no, we're truly putting on a first class event now.
All right, well, let's talk about a couple of players in the SEC if you have opinions. Jordan Davis, I've always said nobody ever has enough linemen.
No.
Ever. Even if you have enough, draft a lineman. I mean, at a 22, you may start nine. Good enough for me. Talk about Jordan Davis and, like, getting up under that guard and bench pressing him up. I mean, he's built perfectly, man.
He is. Yeah, it was great to eyeball him. You can obviously watch the tape, and you know he's a big, strong, powerful man. But to see him in person, I mean, man, he is impressive looking. Well, those guys are hard to find. You know that. Again, you build in the trenches, and there's not going to be many guys his size with his athleticism and power in this year's draft. So he's up there at the top of the Senior Bowl board right now, to say the least.
I don't know if you've been able to kind of drill down on Alante Taylor. Talk about an athlete, man. I think he could play like four positions, a couple of them on offense.
I just watched him this morning, Chuck. Yeah, so just watched him this morning in preparation of meeting him today, which I was able to do a little bit ago.
He's wiry, man.
Man, is he fun to watch. You know, so his arm's measured at 32 and a quarter by the scouts in the spring, which is long. Anything over 32 is what, you know, the Seahawks and teams that look for those type of corners are looking for. But he looks long on tape. He's really sudden, twitched-up athlete. And what makes him different is his play style. I mean, this is a reckless corner. And very rarely as a scout do you write a report and call a corner reckless. But this dude throws his body around. He's an unbelievable special teams player. I don't know how many fair catches he forced on the special teams tape that I watched this morning. But, yeah, he's going to be a guy that, as we work through the draft process, DB coaches and special team coaches are going to be all on board with Alante Taylor.
Yeah. And, I mean, you go back enough, and I remember, you know, I was growing up watching football in the 70s and all that, and I would tell anybody under the age of about 40, go look up the term bump and run coverage. I mean, basically, it was manslaughter charges against cornerbacks in the NFL, and it was legal.
Yeah.
You could beat up the guy. Alante Taylor, if you could airlift him to 1979, he'd be a Pro Bowler.
He would be a rookie Pro Bowler. No, you're right. Yeah, you're back in the Lester Hayes days, and he'd fit perfect. But you're right. He is he's a really fun – the biggest compliment I tell players that I can ever give them is they're fun to watch on tape. Yep. Alante Taylor's fun to watch.
All right, let's go over to Oxford and Matt Corral because he's in the building today, and there are folks I know that – look at quarterbacks and corners, and there are every position. I don't draft a guy that ain't so-and-so tall. I look, is the guy a ball player?
Right.
All right, but I understand I'm not taking a corner sub-6 foot. I'm not, you know, whatever. Teams have that. Talk about Matt Corral and the dimensions in the game also.
Yeah, not a real big guy. I got to meet Matt out at a quarterback thing in L.A. in June, and then I saw him again last weekend at the Manning camp, and he's not a real big person. I would think Matt's going to come at somewhere between 6 foot, 6'1", so maybe closer to 6 foot. I don't know, but he's not the biggest guy. You're absolutely right. But, you know, again, arm strength isn't always tied to size, but it usually is. You know, the bigger the guy, the stronger the arm. But this guy's different. I mean, he has an elastic arm, and he can just he can throw it on a rope. I mean, at the Manning camp the other day, his whatever you want to call it, his RPMs, his spin rate, whatever. I mean, that ball was humming out of his hand.
Talk a little bit about one concept for you. Again, Jim Nagy, executive director of the Senior Bowl. Russell Wilson is a guy that he's short. And I was like, well, he's short, but he throws like he's 6'4 from the pocket. Like, he's not like a Kyler Murray that you've got to give like a 9-step drop or like get him on a roll or something.
Right.
Russell Wilson is a shorter quarterback who throws tall from the pocket. How does that happen?
Okay, so, yeah, Russ was 5'10 and 5'8", so he really lowered the bar from Drew Brees at 6 foot. Yeah. He was kind of the guy we were moving the bar down for. But he's got unusually long arms. I think Russ's arms were like 33 inches, and he's got a really high release point. So, yes, you can get a 6'5 guy throwing from his shoulder or Russell Wilson throwing from way up above his head. That's a really good point, Chuck. So, yeah, I was in Seattle with Russ for 5 years, and the guy never gets bad. He never gets balls batted down.
Okay, then can I ruin my credibility with you?
Yeah.
When he came out of Wisconsin,
yeah,
I said, I looked at him and I was like, Chase Daniel. I was like, oh my God. I said that publicly. I was like, about 5'10", Chase Daniel. Russell Wilson is not Chase Daniel. Jim, appreciate your time as always, brother. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Chuck, this is great. Thank you.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.
Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Welcome back to SEC Media Days 2021, live from the Hyatt Winfrey in Hoover, Alabama. I highly recommend the accommodations here if you're ever in South Birmingham, especially if it's the week of Media Days and you're part of the media. It's been a tremendous 3 days so far. And I told you about this a lot yesterday when kind of the proof in the pudding started to appear that the change in policy of the fan interaction in the lobby, which I kind of like, it's Saban Day. And I have seen one Alabama fan who thought he was going to set up camp as normal, and he showed up, walked through the revolving door with his folding chair and his duffel bag full of mini helmets, wearing a number 13 jersey. Now, I think that's Jaleel Billingsley. And he was turned around and sent right back out to the parking lot, and I couldn't see if it was Billingsley or if that was a national championship jersey from a few years ago when they were at 13. I don't know what it was, but he was the only Bama fan that I've seen here, and I've said that I have sort of missed that out there, but what I've actually liked a lot is, again, this has been a really productive week, and so this is just good for everybody, everybody listening. It's just been a tremendous week so far, and then Dan also up in Charlotte at the Westin with Bronco Mendenhall, as I told you, Derek King, all of that, and we were bringing you all the interviews you want to hear from both places, including, like I said, Charlotte up there, and with Manny Diaz and the Miami Hurricanes, and we're going to hear from him in just a couple of minutes. I am so impressed with the job he did last year. If you look at his first season in 2019, not only were there some issues there, but when you're talking about heading into year two, and year two turns out to be the pandemic, 2020, et cetera, Manny had said going into that season, I'm going to get things fixed. We're going to be better. This will be an improved product. And I'll be darned if he did not follow through on that and actually get Miami into a better place. Remember how it all ended in his first season. They were rolling right along, and then they play FIU. That's Florida International. Then they play FIU, and it's a loss. Then play Duke, and it's a loss. And then play in the Independence Bowl and don't score. Now, the Independence Bowl isn't really the end of the rainbow for the Miami program anyway. But when you go to the Independence Bowl, here's the truth. You're not playing Bama like you are in week one. You played Louisiana Tech, and you did not score, and you became the first Power 5 since the divisions came in, maybe that was the 04 season, when it became, instead of Division 1, 1AA, et cetera, it became FBS, FCS, et cetera. It's the first time that a Power 5 program has been shut out by a Group of 5 program in bowl history. That was the lead-in into his first offseason as head coach. And Manny made a lot of promises and a lot of claims. He took a lot of responsibility, but it was just words at that point. Hey, I'm going to get things fixed. We're going to get things turned around. There are a lot of issues, and he acknowledged them. And he's from an organizational standpoint, he said there are a lot of issues, and it's on me to get them fixed, and it's going to happen. I was like, well, that's the script, and good for him for saying what you need to say, but none of that matters. Now, what I realized I should have said is it only matters if he follows through. I didn't have confidence he would. I did not have good expectations, and then it turned into what it did. It was a really good season, bad Saturday against North Carolina or whatever happened. But, again, all in all, Manny did a pretty good job last year and got that team turned in the right direction. And with De'Aaron King and the recruiting momentum and everything going on offensively, which finally for the first – I think for the first time since Ken Dorsey, Miami has good quarterback play. What I'm eventually hoping for is something that I was promised, folks, not promised, that was schemed for almost 2 decades ago. What was schemed for almost 20 years ago when the ACC decided, all right, Virginia Tech, Miami, you come on into the conference. We're going to break into divisions. At first, they were like, divisions, we don't need that. And they were like, oh, yeah, that's a whole lot of money. So, we're going to have divisions. We're going to have a championship game, too. The reason it's not North and South in the ACC, the reason it's Coastal and Atlantic in the conference, is specifically so that we can get two of the only marquee games that we have in the entire conference. We can get it played twice. When Miami and Virginia Tech joined the ACC for the 05 season, the entire point of divisions being named what they are, because you couldn't call them North and South and have Florida State and Miami in separate divisions. So we got to come up with something. How about Legends and Leaders? No, that crappy name's already taken. We need a new crappy name. How about Atlantic and Coastal? Sold! And why are we doing this again? Well, because it's January of 2005, and we're creating divisions, and what we know is going to happen of the very few marquee games we can lay out there for television inventory, one of them's Florida State and Miami, and we won it twice. Hadn't happened. Not one time in ACC championship game history has that matchup occurred. It might have been an Al Golden year, but I think Miami voluntarily forfeited the postseason. Would have been the only time in a decade and a half that the reason you structured the divisions the way you did. The only time in a decade. So I'm still waiting. That's what I'm hoping for Manny. All right, we're going to head to Charlotte, North Carolina right now. Again, at the Westin, ACC Media Day is going on live right now, joined by the head coach of the Miami Hurricanes. Welcome back to Hoover, Alabama, SEC Media Days 2021, and we're in Charlotte, North Carolina at the ACC Football Kickoff 2021, and I appreciate getting some time right now. Head coach of the Miami Hurricanes, it is Manny Diaz. Coach, how you doing today?
I'm doing outstanding. How are you doing?
Doing good. Appreciate your time. And how's the knee? And I'm not talking about yours.
I figured the knee is doing well. Derek is... He has been phenomenal in his rehab, really since the first day after the surgery. He's met every benchmark, and we still have every expectation. He'll be leading us out of the tunnel in Atlanta against the Crimson Tide.
You know, Coach, you've been in sports, obviously. Yeah, you played him, obviously, earlier in your life. You've been in sports your whole existence. Most times hype does not live up to production, fight of the century or, whatever else. I'll be darned if De'Aaron King and that offense didn't live up to it last year. That kid's a magician.
And let me tell you, it's such a great word choice. He's a bigger magician in our locker room. The impact, you talk about the hype, living up to the hype. When we brought him, certainly we needed better quarterback play, but what he's done in terms of transforming our locker room, I don't know if I've ever seen one player have as big an impact on 1 through 85 on the roster like Derek has, and it's like we're a new football team with him, and I owe him a lot because he's been really special.
Chuck Oliver talking with head coach Manny Diaz, the Miami Hurricanes. All right, Coach, I'm going to give you a disclaimer. In no way do I equate a spring to playing against ACC competition. However, you had two guys who kind of took advantage of reps in March and April, and one of them a true freshman. You may have a couple of right answers at quarterback waiting.
Yeah, I agree with you. We, obviously one of the byproducts of not having Derek this spring is it was a ton of reps for Tyler Van Dyke and Jake Garcia. We thought highly of both young men, and both guys had a phenomenal spring. What we saw in the spring game is what we saw every day out on Green Tree practice field. But it's so phenomenal that they get a chance to learn under a guy like Derek, not just, the ins and outs of how to throw a football, but just, how do you conduct yourselves in meetings? How do you, go through workouts? How do you prepare watching film? The whole deal. So, I believe the future's bright in our quarterback room.
All right. I have said that, one of the last things I want to do is be reminded about the 2020 season. But before we go over to defense, I got to ask you about that Virginia Tech game and your offensive line. I mean, when people use the word like warrior, gladiator, or whatever, that was your O-line that Saturday in Blacksburg. Am I remembering correctly? Ain't nobody come off for a single play.
I didn't think we were going. It's a funny story. We were leaving out on the Friday, and I thought there's no way that the plane's going to take off because we were one COVID test away from the whole thing, us not being able to go. And to be honest, the COVID test came back positive. So we had five offensive linemen, we had a walk on, and we had a guy who had just gotten cleared for full contact. And we asked the coaches, we asked the players, you guys still want to do it? Because we had the out to not play, and our guys were like, let's go play. And we knew, and I told our AD, hey, listen, if we get a couple injuries, we may have to just get back on the bus and go to the airport, because you just can't make up an offensive lineman. And the way that those guys played, again, like you say, it's not fun always to talk about 2020, but you want to talk about being a proud football coach. I was really proud of everybody that day, because we were there against the odds.
Yeah, dude, I came on the air Monday. I was like, Miami needs to start helmet stickers and begin with the offensive linemen. Just start slapping helmet stickers on the O-linemen from Saturday. Let's flip over to defense now. You don't have quite the depth. You don't have quite the proven, experienced depth at linebackers, maybe, you know, some other positions on the team. Who are the leaders like to start right now entering August camp?
Yeah, we got a big-time competition in August, and I like the contestants that we have. I do think we've got some depth. I think the question is who's going to step up and take that role. Is it going to be a Corey Flagg at middle linebacker? You know, we moved Keontre Smith, you know, from striker to will, and he really looked natural for the last 2 weeks of spring ball, and now he's had a whole summer to learn it, you know, and go through training camp. So then you got, you know, young, impressive guys like Avery Huff. You got guys that are a year removed from really, really major injuries like Wayman Steed and Bradley Jennings. So I think we've got the right guys, and like anything else, everybody will be pushed to their limit, because we're going to have great competition to see who will be the first two out there in Atlanta.
All right, family, friends of mine, big Canes fans, don't really, you know, follow it closely, but they're Canes fans, and they're like, hey, Manny's taking over the defense. What's that like? And I said, let's heat up the quarterback. I was like, that wherever I've seen Manny taking over, Mississippi State, wherever, it's like, let's get after the quarterback. Is that a fair preview to the mindset this season?
Yeah, well, it's like we always say, you got to eat your vegetables first, you know, and that's stop the run before you get the dessert. And it's you got to hammer the run, and then you go hammer the quarterback. But if you don't stop the run better than we did a year ago, teams don't have to expose their quarterback to you. So that's where it all begins. We got to make a big, you know, we've taken a lot of pride in how we've played run defense here over the last 5 years. The 4 years prior, it kind of went, we took a step backwards last year. So that's kind of the first thing first. We got to reestablish that. And then if you people in long yard situations, yeah, I mean, you got to get after the quarterback. You got to affect the guy that touches the ball in every play, in every sport. And in football, that's a QB.
Coach, last thing I want to ask you about is some true freshmen. And there's nothing tougher, true freshmen playing on the line, but especially the interior of the line in Power 5. You see any of your incoming freshmen who can really play, like beginning week one, maybe James Williams or Leonard Taylor, maybe anybody?
You know, I'm excited to see what they do in training camp. You know, they weren't able to come as mid-year enrollees, but, you know, they're both obviously special players. I do love the fact that we've got some age and experience, some guys that they can, you know, you don't have to throw them in there maybe before they're ready. But at the same time, I think they're talented enough to push everybody we have on the field. So that'll be one of the things that, you know, I'll be watching over the first 2 weeks of camp, just like anybody else, is hey, you know, we know these guys are super talented, but how ready are they, you know, for the, you know, they got to go against a Rhett Lashley offense every day in practice, and the tempo of that, and just can you handle the assignments and understanding how to react to all the formations and whatnot. If they can handle that, you know, the sky's the limit.
Coach Manny Diaz, Miami Hurricanes. Appreciate your time, friend.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right, which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart, and there needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com, and then call us for a free in-home consultation.
the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Welcome back to SEC Media Days 2021, live from the Hyatt Winfrey in Hoover, Alabama. Chuck Oliver here. Dan Matthews, of course, been in Charlotte all day, and we've got the interviews coming for you. So much that just spilling over the sides of the tub today while we're recording both places. So we will continue to bring you all these interviews tomorrow as well, live in both places, and then Friday back in the studio. Anything that you might have missed, and then the best of as we go through all the coaches that we've already talked to and the ones to come, whether it's Nick Saban, Manny Diaz, Kirby Smart, Bronco Mendenhall, Mike Norvell, you name it. We're going to bring it all to you. So I appreciate you, everybody coming. Yesterday was Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss Day, and I got to say, I was really impressed with Matt Corral. I saw him upstairs in the big room talking in the – it's a weird thing. There are two different approaches. You have the reporter's room, the digital and print still and all, but then you have the TV room, and – you have to go to both, or you at least have to go back and watch the video to both, or you at least have to read the transcripts to both, because you get – when it's a Q&A with a bunch of beat reporters and guys and girls who cover teams, it really is a Q&A. Coach, talk about any freshmen who may play. I asked Manny Diaz that question. Talk about freshmen who play. So, it's about information almost. It's not a deposition, but it's pretty dang close to it. You get in the TV room, that's where you get the better answers. That's where you get the more long-form explanations where you can really stitch some stuff together. But you got to be in both places. I saw Matt Corral upstairs, and he just kind of started talking. And I realized that I said it to his face. I was like, dude, you got California Cool just dripping off of you. And he kind of smiled, sat back in the chair, and I was like, and you just upped it from 9.9 to 10. And I talked last week, actually, leading up to this, the way that he is still at Ole Miss versus what was supposed to happen. It's just one of the best stories out there with what happened with Lane Kiffin and everything and keeping him there and then choosing that direction of the offense. So we were able to sit down with Matt Corral, the Ole Miss quarterback, yesterday while Lane and everybody else run around the halls. Want to bring that to you right now. Chuck Oliver Show continues live from 2021 SEC Media Days, and I am pleased to sit down with the quarterback for the Ole Miss Rebels. It is Matt Corral. Matt, how you doing, man?
Good, man. I'm glad to be here.
All right. The fact that I'm still saying Matt Corral, Ole Miss quarterback, I carved it in stone, 11th commandment. That kid is transferring. No way he stays at Ole Miss. 100% wrong, and boy, has it turned out. Tell me the factors, the process on your end of this. Coaching change, I was like, he's gone. Everybody said that. You're still here. You might be the all-conference quarterback. Who knows?
Man, I got lucky. And I took a chance on staying, not knowing who I was going to get, not knowing – anything, just putting my head down and working and, praying every night. And really just, growing mentally. And like I said, man, I'm blessed. I'm blessed to be in the position I am today and just, blessed to have a coach like Kiffin and Lebby.
Give me the checklist of, the off-season to-do list, because if you ask, the outsider, it's like, hey, what's Matt Corral got to do to get better? It's like, I don't know, looked pretty good last year. But what is your personal checklist? I mean, because you ain't been sitting around eating ice cream sandwiches all summer.
Are you asking, what my daily thing is?
Yeah, what's your goals?
So, my daily schedule?
Yeah.
Okay, so 5 a.m., I'm up, 5:15, I get picked up, I go to the facility. We run at 6:30, so from 5:15 to 6:30, I'm on the board just drawing. My coach gives me a defense, he gives me a play. I draw the play, and then I draw the defense on that play, and then where I would go with the ball in that specific defense, and we go through that all the way until 6:30. It gives me a whole bunch of different looks. After that, I go run. After the run, either we'll have routes on air, 7-on-7, or team, or film. And whatever we do after that, we'll go lift. And then after the lift, we'll go eat, and I'll come back at around 2, and I'll meet with the coach for an hour and a half by myself. And then after that hour and a half is up, I'll have people meet me, my receivers, my O-line, or mainly the receivers, not the O-line. the receivers would come tight ends and watch film with me, and then we'd go over the script that we received, and then we walk through it before we go to team the next day. So, I mean, and that's every day, and I feel like everybody's gotten the habit of doing that, and, you know, we have a good time doing it, and we work hard, and, you know, no complaints.
All right, you just mentioned something about there. We're going to watch film together. I assume watching film, Ole Miss film from last year, for instance.
Of course.
When I used to coach, I realized none of my players would ever believe what I told them until I showed them it on film.
Yeah.
Like, do you see that? You're like, the coach talking to you, or you talking to the receivers? Until you see it on film, the player is always going to say, oh, no, I did that right.
Yeah, and I feel like it's different when it comes from, you know, a player rather than a coach. Like, for instance, me saying it to my receiver or my receiver saying it to a receiver, it's different coming from a player. And just being able to have that type of, you know, leadership. And it's not only me. Like, other people are doing it with each other, like Braylon doing it with the younger guys. And, you know, just showing them the guidelines, you know, to be successful. And, you know, I wouldn't have it any other way, just because the way we've grown together, because we were not always like this. We weren't. And it's just something that a culture change happened. And it's something that was a little, like, it just snowballed. And then now it's like, okay, this is what we got to get done today. And this is, like, we know we have a standard and we have a goal, and we know it's got to get done every single day to reach that goal.
Wrap it up with Matt Corral, Ole Miss starting quarterback. And Richard Cross, guy who does the sidelines on the broadcast. When Jerry Neely showed up on campus a couple years back, I watched one game of his, and I was like, I texted Richard. I was like, that's not a kind of kid that Ole Miss gets. And he's like, it might be changed a little bit. Jerry Neely's a Sunday guy, man. Talk about how diverse his skills are.
You could put him in the slot. You could put him in the running back. You could put him at. You could put him anywhere. And ultimately, he's going to get the job done. And what I'm excited for, and what I'm proud of, is this kid has grown so much from not only on the field but off the field, and just having his understanding of what he has in front of him. And the way he's worked and the way his work ethic has changed and the way he has been in there consistently day in and day out. And me knowing that he knows what he's doing. And, like, because we didn't always have that. He would always ask me sometimes during a play, like, yo, what do I got here? And his work ethic, man, it's just different. It's just different, and I couldn't be more excited to watch somebody play. I wish I could just be in the stands watching Jerry Neely and knowing how hard he worked, just to watch and see him produce, because that kid has some big things ahead of him this year.
Well, what everybody's looking forward to this season, one of them in the SEC, is Ole Miss. A lot of yards, a lot of points, and that's on you, man. So I want to say thank you in advance.
Thank you, guys.
Wrapping up day three from SEC Media Days and dual broadcast, Charlotte, North Carolina, the Westin there for ACC football kickoff as well. What a great day today. Manny Diaz, Bronco Mendenhall, will probably bring you him tomorrow, maybe. Heard from Kirby Smart, heard from Matt Corral just now, De'Aaron King, so much going on in both locales. And, folks, it ain't over yet. This is just day three in Birmingham. Day four here tomorrow. Dan still up in Charlotte. We're going to bring you wall to wall again. Make sure you're listening. Go to thepodcastpark.com. Again, thepodcastpark.com. You can listen every single day there. If you missed any of the interviews, go back and listen to them, or just hit like and subscribe, and you got everything showing up just for you. All right, folks, I'm going to get out of here. Give me 22 hours. I will recharge those batteries. I promise you. Be back tomorrow with more college football conversation right here on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right? Which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart, and there needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com and then call us for a free in-home consultation.